أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. دير الست بغرض الإسلام. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين. All praise be to Allah. We praise Him. We seek His forgiveness. We seek His guidance. We seek His assistance. We seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from our own wrongdoing and from our own sinful acts and deeds. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. Whomever Allah guides will never go astray, my respected brothers of Islam. And whoever is misguided due to wrongdoing will never find guidance except that with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. I bear witness that there is no deity but Allah alone with no partner. And I bear witness that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is his final messenger and prophet to the world. Respected brothers in Islam, I stand here today in an attempt to talk about a topic that is much, much larger and greater than me. It's more like a little child standing at a mountain and trying to push very hard at this mountain with both hands. Is the mountain going to move? No. It's more like a child sitting on the coast of a huge ocean, trying to scoop some water out of it. Would that affect it? No. The Tawheed is such a great topic and subject that I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give me some guidance so that we can share together some understanding of Tawheed. Whatever is correct that I say, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever is false or there is an error, it is from me and from Shaytan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to the truth and to the correct saying. Ameen. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. I bear witness that there is no deity but Allah alone with no partner. We say it as Muslims very much every day. We said it when we became Muslims. If we became Muslims as reverted from other religions, and we say it every day in our salah. We say it every day. What is the meaning of أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله؟ I bear witness that there is no deity but Allah. Is it enough to just say it by the tongue and just go on into our own life every day? As well as وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. And I bear witness that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is the messenger and prophet of Allah, the slave and the servant of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. Let us take a look. Mainly we will look, inshaAllah, at the virtues, let's say the fruit of the labor of لا إله إلا الله, the benefits, how it changes us, how it changes our life, how it affects us, it affects our life. What benefits are we going to gain from لا إله إلا الله? We can look at this, but first let's go over little bit of definition of the meaning of Tawheed in Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, in Surah 6, Al-An'am, verse 79, إِنِّي وَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِيَ لِلَّذِي فَطَرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ حَنِيفًا وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. I have directed myself, my face, to the one who fashioned, created the heavens and the earth in a straight, upright manner, and I am not one of those who associate partners with Allah. And he subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Al-Baqarah, verse 21, Ya ayyuhal nas, O human. Notice it is O human, it is not O Muslim. Ya ayyuhal nas, O human. U'budu rabbakum, worship your Lord. Alladhi khalaqakum, the one who created you. Walladhina min qablikum, and created the ones that are before you. La'allakum tattaqoon, so you might attain piety. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have created the jinn and the ins but to worship him. So the command of Allah to worship him alone, Only Allah to be worshipped. It's all over the Quran. If you pick up the Quran and look at the index translation into English, you know, look under worship or look under Allah, you know, for a well indexed Quran, or pick up an individual copy of the index of the Holy Quran, then you can get references on each word. You will find many, many verses that say, La ilaha illallah, worship Allah, there is no deity but Him, there is no God but Allah, there is no God but Him, and so on. Why? Why? What we are talking about today is monotheism, tawheed, to worship only Allah, to believe only in Allah, to believe that only Allah has certain attributes and qualities, as we shall see. The tawheed, here on, we will refer to it as tawheed, respected brother, is to believe in the oneness. Nothing, no one shares with Allah the Almighty, His Lordship, His divine nature, and His attributes and most beautiful names. All the messengers called for La ilaha illallah. Starting with Nuh alayhi salam, and ending up with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying in the Quran, in Surah 11, verse 25-26. أبعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولقد أرسلنا نوحا إلى قومه. We have sent, and indeed we have sent Noah to his people. إني لكم نذير مبين, that I am indeed for you a warner, that is clear in the message of warning. What is it, the message? ألا تعبدوا إلا الله, that you shall not worship anyone but Allah. إني أخاف عليكم عذاب يوم أليم, I fear for you a torment, a day of a torment that is very, very painful. This is the message that Nuh عليه السلام, Noah, brought to his people. But that doesn't stop there. Look further and hear further. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about Nabi Hud عليه السلام, and Nabi Saleh عليه السلام, and Nabi Shu'ayb alayhi salam, and others, the same message. Look at Surah Al-Anbiya, chapter 21, verse 26. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ, and we have not sent before you, that is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have not sent a messenger before you, except إِلَّا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِ, except that we have sent down with him inspiration, أنه لا إله إلا أنا تعبدون, that there is no deity but I, Allah speaking, praise be to Him, تبارك وتعالى, that there is no God except me. What's the message? تعبدون, so worship me. Allah سبحانه وتعالى said in الأنبياء, chapter أنبياء, chapter 21, verse 36, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, ولقد بعثنا في كل أمة رسولا, and so we had sent in every nation a messenger. So every nation had a messenger. That's the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Will we be guided if it wasn't for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Absolutely not. There are two types of guidance. There is the instinct, the natural instinct that each one has, that we know Allah exists. Allah created the souls and took out all the souls from the back of Adam alayhi salam, as in the hadith, and then gave the command that all the souls to be created, to come to this earth through all of us, before us and after us, to give covenant to Allah. أَعْطُ الْمِثَاقِ, give the covenant, give the promise. So we all did, at some point or another, when Allah created the souls, took us out from the back of Adam, we all gave the covenant that there is no deity but Allah. This is the instinct. When you are in a ship, you know, about to drown, as Allah said in the Quran, when you are in the front of an imminent danger, when you are about to lose your life, the first thing you think about is this supreme being. Said, oh God, save me, help me. Even
atheists, agnostics, people who don't believe. They will go, oh God, this is the part of guidance. But this is not enough. Because people could have the instinct about Allah as much as they want, but they never know how to worship Allah. They never have a guidance clearly what to do, how to do every day for Allah, how to worship, what to do in life, what to do in the society. What are the codes that they should follow? What's the code they should follow? What are the specific instructions? All this is the second and major kind of guidance that only comes from Allah directly through messengers. So the message is Surah Al-Anbiya, verse 36, chapter 21. Allah said, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا. And we have sent in every nation a messenger. What's the message? What is it? أَنْ أُعْبُدُ اللَّهِ, that you worship Allah. وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتَ, and avoid false gods. So the tawheed of Allah, monotheism, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and worshipping Him alone, without any partner, is the pulse of the call of all the messengers. The heart of the call of all the messengers. And if you imagine any religion, it's like a curve. You know, it starts very slow, you know, calling to, calling for the belief. The height of the belief, when people start standing against the messenger, is to say, don't worship anything or anyone. Only Allah, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you think of it as a curve, the height of the curve is La ilaha illallah. Listen to chapter 14, chapter of Ibrahim, name Ibrahim, verse 62. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in it, هذا بلاغٌ للناس. This is a bulletin in news of such importance to the people. وَلْيُنذَرُوا بِهِ, let them be warned with it or by it. وليعلموا, and let them know, أنما هو إله واحد, that it is He, only one God, one إله, one God. وليذكر أولو الألباب, and let those who have contemplating, thinking mind, remember. What is the Tawheed exactly? The Tawheed has three main components. One is the oneness or tawheed of Allah in His actions. Okay? That is, Allah creates, only Allah creates. Allah guides, only Allah guides. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives sustenance, provision. Only Allah gives sustenance and provision. We need to remember that when you say, or if someone comes to you and says to you, wait a minute, my boss gives me sustenance at work. Or so-and-so leader gives the salary that I get. Yes, but it all came from Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created you and your boss. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created your intelligence and mind and the circumstances that led you to have a job, and created the very job you have, and created the ability in the people to think and make even the money notes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created all the resources on earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the cause, the direct cause, behind your sustenance, behind provisions that come to you, behind everything you have. So as such, when we believe in Tawheed, in the part of the actions of Allah, which is called the Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, the Lordship, monotheism, oneness, in essence we say, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praise be to Him, is the creator. Only Allah, praise be to Him, is the sustainer. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praise be to Him, is the one who guides, is the one who takes care of us, is the one who preserves us. What does this mean? This means that nobody could hurt you if Allah did not want you hurt. Nobody could benefit you if Allah did not want you benefited. You see, nobody would lessen your rizq, your provision, the money you make, if Allah did not want it to be lessened. And there are many stories that, you know, testify to this. How many people worked very hard, indeed, and their money remains in a certain limit, where people don't work hard, a lot of money comes to them. It's because the rizq is written by Allah. It comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes you think that it's illogical. It's because only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala controls the rizq, controls you. Even the breath you have comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the health you have comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many people are sick, they become better? Because Allah decided they are to become better. How many people are healthy? They fall sick because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permitted this sickness to happen. So as such, we have to accomplish this first level, the level of the oneness of Allah as the Lord. Allah Ar-Rabb, Tawheed Ar-Rububiyyah, the Lordship, Monotheism, Tawheed Ar-Rububiyyah. The second part, it is the opposite, that is the Tawheed of the actions of the creation towards Allah. That is to say, the oneness of certain actions in the sense that it is only towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This means the worship. Can you worship a person? No. Can you worship money? No. Actually, people do worship money, but they shouldn't. You see, a lot of people would love money so much, would love, you know, like wealth so much, they think of it so much, that it becomes their God. You see, in a sense, it becomes their God. What is a false God? A false God is something that occupies your heart and mind and you have devotion to a high degree, that it takes you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the az-zahid? The person who is zuhd-zahid, one who denounced the dunya. It is not one who is poor, it is one who could be rich, but the dunya did not reside in his heart. The dunya, the wealth is not in his heart, it is in his hand. The wealth, the money, the position is not really something that is a god, so to speak, in his life. So the oneness of the behavior, of the action of the people towards Allah, that is only towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This means we only worship Allah. We only pray to Allah. We only supplicate, make dua to Allah. What happens if somebody goes to a grave and makes dua to a grave? Tawheed is gone. Islam is gone. That's shirk. Not acceptable. That is why shirk is nullifier out of Islam. It takes Islam away, it takes it out. The tawheed of the ibadah. You only worship Allah. You only supplicate to Allah. What about the heart? You only have fear from a higher being, only from Allah. Okay? Who do you attach your hope to? You know, when you hope that someone is going to give you, you know, salvation, better life, you know, better money. Who is that in your life that has that position? Is it Allah? When you go to an examination, an exam, university exam, is your heart hopeful that Allah will help you succeed? Or is your heart hopeful that the professor will give you the success? Think about that. When you go to a doctor, you are sick. Are your hopes attached to the doctor? Or are your hopes attached to Allah? You know, you say yes, but the doctor, my brother, the doctor is the one who, yes, the doctor is the one who treats you, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the God. He is the one. Remember the Lordship? He is the one subhanahu wa ta'ala who will give you healing. So your hope is attached to him. Not with the doctor. You say the doctor is a cause, is a reason for me to get better, but Allah decided. But actually the oneness of Allah is the one that you should be attached to, in the sense that Allah is al-ilah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one, only being that you should worship, supplicate to, slaughter an animal for, you know, on the day of Adha, Eid al-Adha, you know, or when you have a child, the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ to do aqiqah on the seventh day, to slaughter a lamb, two lambs for a boy, one lamb for a girl, and then make a walima and invite people and so on. You do that for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The oneness of the worship towards Allah. So the first part is Lordship. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator, the one who creates, the one who guides, so on. The second part is the divinity of Allah. You only pray to Allah, you only worship Allah. Don't associate any partners with Allah also in this part. The third part is the monotheism, the oneness of Allah in His absolute, most beautiful names and attributes. There are conditions to this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one that knows His own attributes, knows His own name. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about those names. The ones Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about, we take, we believe in. The ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not tell us about, and maybe the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us about, we believe in. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not tell us about any names or attributes, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not tell us about, we cannot bring forth names or attributes to Allah on our own. Okay. For instance, you cannot say Allah is the smart, for instance, as the king. Allah did not subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is, of course, but you do not give that attribute because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give it to himself. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not give it to himself. And our belief in these names and attributes are in the most absolute sense and form. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-basir, the all-seeing. We do not say, there are three things. You do not say, Allah al-basir, but let me explain to you what this means. Don't do that. Because we do not make ta'wil. Ta'wil is to explain. You know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you know, in the Quran, بَلْ يَدَاهُ مَبْسُوطَتَانِ. Indeed, you know, the Jews said that the hands of Allah are tight. May Allah curse them, they say that He is, you know, stingy, doesn't give. Then Allah said, بَلْ يَدَاهُ مَبْسُوطَتَانِ. His hands are extended. But do not go and say, well, this means that He is generous. Don't explain this attribute and the names of Allah. And don't stop it. Don't say, oh, Allah cannot have hands. We don't know. All we know is that Allah said it, we take it. The monotheism, the oneness of Allah in the names and attributes, mandates that you do not explain on your own what they mean, and you do not stop the meaning of it, the apparent meaning of it. Okay? And you do not add more names from your own, so to speak. Tawheedullah, the monotheism, the oneness of Allah, respected brothers in Islam, is exemplified in La ilaha illallah. There is no deity but Allah. In speech, you say it, and in conviction, you believe in it, and in action. Your outward actions should express La ilaha illallah. Okay. You have to be connected to its conditions. You have to take it as a way of life. You have to organize your whole life around La ilaha illallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, بَعْدَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي, say, that is, O Muhammad, peace be upon him, إِنَّ صَلَاتِي, indeed my prayer, وَنُسُكِي, my sacrifice, وَمَحْيَايَ, and my living, my life, وَمَمَاتِي, and my death, لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, belong to Allah, the Lord of the world. لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ, notice, لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ, there is no partner to him, to Allah. وَبِذَلِكَ أُمِرْ, that is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to add, and that is what I'm commanded to do. That's Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say, and that is what I'm commanded to do. وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, and I am among the first of the Muslims. The Tawheed, brothers in Islam, is the first message that the messenger has brought, as we said. It is the first station, the first station. This is Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah. The scholar, the Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, says, At-Tawheed, monotheism, is the first station that the people will stop at on their journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask, what is this journey Ibn al-Qayyim is talking about? What is Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, is talking about? What's this journey? brothers in Islam, Malik ibn Dinar, the great, the well-pronounced Tabi'i, he said, many people live and die without knowing or experiencing the best thing in the life. Ma'rifatullah, knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is this journey we are in? It is a journey that begins with your birth as a child. You cannot do anything except that your mother will take care of you. Then your father will take care of you. You cannot survive on your own the first 2 years of your life. Even if you could physically survive, you don't have the intelligence and the wisdom to take care of yourself, so you get into problems and stuff. Then you go through life and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps taking care of you, gives you the support, the strength, the health. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends your way people and so on. Some people help you, have guidance. Some people are your test. You are tested with them. And then if you know what your purpose is through the guidance, proper guidance, then you live your life in accordance with the instructions of the teachings of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Quran. Then this journey ends with death. But yet little people, very, very little number of people actually are living this birth. This is the journey, begins with that and ends with this, and then there is abode, internal or eternal abode, either the Jannah or the Hellfire. This is the journey. The first stop for us on this road to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is La ilaha illallah. There are three important matters that are very important to know about Tawheed. We have to know that the root of Islam is the Tawheed, and it is the heart of Islam, as we saw. The second, but before we have to know what shirk is, the shirk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is to call other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is good. Good to turn another air conditioner. To call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but also to call others with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is actually called shirk. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from shirk. Some people, my brothers in Islam, say we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, they go and call others than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some millions still go to the grave, you know, graves of good people, and pray to those graves, and they hope that those graves will give them, you know, the people in the grave will give them, let's say, better health, will make their son succeed, and so on and so forth. Thank you very much. And so on and so forth. They believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but what is the comparison between them and the people of Quraysh? The people of Quraysh also believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they also believe that there are other gods associated with them. Whoever seeks other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in reliance, in praying to, in hope, and so on and so forth, had committed shirk. And shirk is enough to take one out of the fold of Islam. Listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when He said, وَلَوْ أَشْرَكُوا, and if they commit paganism, association of partners with Allah, لَحَبَطَ عَنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, they will most surely lose all their good deeds. That is, a lot of people have good deeds, day in and day out. But in fact, when they commit shirk, all the good deeds will go out of the window, so to speak. Why are we not taking a stop and analyzing this very important point of shirk, so that we know that our deeds will be counted and will not be nullified? The second matter is to have actually the expansion of the heart, the comfort, towards the non-believers, those who have shirk. If you find yourself feeling comfortable, you know, by, you know, towards people who actually commit shirk, then you know you are not, implementing tawheed properly in your life. The third part is to actually become friends to those who commit shirk. To actually give emotion, support, total alliance, so to speak, to the ones who actually commit shirk against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's be careful of that. Now we come to the core of the subject. That introduction was very important because a lot of people, even nowadays, actually miss the true sense of what Tawheed means in three parts. The first part is Lordship of Allah. The second part is that Allah is the only divine being. The third part is only Allah has the most beautiful names and most perfect attributes. What are the fruits of the labor of those who have Tawheed? Brothers in Islam, La ilaha illallah is the word of the taqwa. It is the word of piety. As Umar radiallahu anhu and others from the companions had said, La ilaha illallah is the word of al-ikhlas. Sincerity in religion comes from La ilaha illallah. It is the witness of the truth. It is the call to the truth. It is absolveness from shirk. When you say La ilaha illallah, and you live by La ilaha illallah, you are declaring that you are against shirk. It's very important. La ilaha illallah is the salvation in this dunya from shirk. And La ilaha illallah is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the creation. Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah, the scholar, he said, it is incumbent, it is important upon whoever gives advice to his own self and whoever wants success in this dunya and the akhirah and the salvation, for him or her to be awakened to this important matter. That La ilaha illallah, not only saying but also action. And La ilaha illallah should be the most important thing in your life. Sometimes La ilaha illallah is only a matter of convenience. We say we are Muslims, we say we bear witness there is no deity but Allah. But when it comes to putting other things in the center of our life, instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we move this La ilaha illallah on the side and we practice something else. If La ilaha illallah is truly in your life, it's in the center. You don't permit anything else. If La ilaha illallah contradicts with riba, you stop riba, you know, usury. If La ilaha illallah comes first. If La ilaha illallah contradicts with your whim to do something, desire to commit a sin, La ilaha illallah will push it away from you. You achieve that oneness of Allah in worship, in true worship, and it pushes you away from sinful life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, Surah Al-Hijr 92-93, فَوَرَبِّكَ, by your Lord, Allah is swearing, فَوَرَبِّكَ, لَنَسْأَلَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ, we shall ask them all, عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, about what they were used to do. So we are all going to be asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what we used to do in this life. One of the scholars said, the asking of Allah, of the people, about what they used to do in this life is about what did you do with La ilaha illallah? What did you do with La ilaha illallah? You say La ilaha illallah. How did it change your life? What did you do? Did it stop you from sinning? Did it stop you from being away from me? Did it bring you closer? And so on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Al-Jariyat, verse 56, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, I have created the jinn and the ins but to worship me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for La ilaha illallah, sent the messenger. And he said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَعْبُدُونَ, we have not sent any messenger before you except that we have inspired him that there is no deity but I to worship me. In Surah An-Nahl, chapter of An-Nahl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is chapter 16, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يعني mentioned many of the blessings. In fact, Surah Al-Nahl is called the chapter of the blessings because it talks about many, many blessings. يعني Allah did this, Allah did that, Allah brought the, you know, the plant from the, you know, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the bees and inspired the bees and so on. Many, many blessings. You read the chapter of Al-Nahl and you see the blessings. So many. It's called the chapter of the blessings because so many blessings are mentioned. The first one in it, the first blessing is La ilaha illallah. يُنَزِّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةَ. Allah sends down the angel, the ruhi min amrih, with Jibreel, with archangel Jibreel, min amrih, with his command, عَلَى مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ, down on whomever he wills of his servants, and أَنْذِرُ, that warns, أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاتَّقُونَ, that there is no deity but I, so have piety towards me. العلامة صديق خان رحمه الله said in his book الدين الخالص The Religion the Sincere, he said لا إله إلا الله is the glad tidings or the stronghold وكلمة الله العليا, it is the high word of Allah سبحانه وتعالى, وبها قامت الأرضون, and with it the earth and the heaven stood high and stood up. وبها نطقت الموجودات, and with it the creation spoke with Allah, for Allah سبحانه وتعالى. And with it, or for its sake, the books were revealed and the messengers were sent. Meaning that this word, La ilaha illallah, is the core of our life. The core of our life. La ilaha illallah is like the cold water in the akhirah, it's like the cold water to the people in the dunya. Whoever said La ilaha illallah and died on La ilaha illallah, the last thing he said is La ilaha illallah will surely enter into paradise. La ilaha illallah is the key, is the key of all the messengers that they brought with them to the happiness in the hereafter, in the Jannah. La ilaha illallah is the reason why Allah spoke to Musa alayhi salam, spoke to him directly. In the Musnad, Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, he said that Iyad al-Ansari said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that La ilaha illallah is a truth word that is honorable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to Allah it has a certain position. It is a word that collected all the meaning. Whoever said it truthfully, Allah will enter him into paradise. And whoever said it, even a lie, if somebody said La ilaha illallah, lying, still, in Islam, he is considered a Muslim. And La ilaha illallah is the key of the Jannah. This is in the hadith in Imam Ahmad Muslim. La ilaha illallah is the price of the Jannah. Al-Hasan rahimahullah, Imam Al-Hasan said that whoever said La ilaha illallah last will enter paradise before his death. It is the salvation from the hellfire. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard a muaddin, you know, saying the adhan, said ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said kharaja min al-nar, he exited from the hellfire. If you think with me for a second, this is the muaddin saying ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, you know, the adhan, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described him as if he's about to enter the hellfire, and la ilaha illallah took him out of the hellfire. La ilaha illallah mandates forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many people sin every day? I don't think there is anyone who does not sin, commit sin. La ilaha illallah comes and removes the sin. Once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with his companion, Ubadah ibn Samir, one of the Sahabi, he said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, raise your hand. So they raised their hand. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, say La ilaha illallah. So they all said La ilaha illallah. Then Ubadah ibn Samir, the Sahabi Jaleel, he said, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lowered his hands and said, Alhamdulillah, all praise be to Allah. Allahumma ba'athani bihadihi al-kalima. O Allah, you have sent me with this word, with la ilaha illallah, wa amartani biha, and you commanded me to say it, wa wa'adtani jannata alayha, and you promised me the jannah for saying la ilaha illallah, wa innaka la tukliful mi'ad, and you do not betray your promise. Thumma qal, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, abshiru, have the glad tidings, fa inna allaha qad ghafara lakum, for Allah has forgiven your sins. Imagine you are, yani, this is not easy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani, immediately connection with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them direct news that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had just forgiven your sins. Is this only for the Sahaba? Of course not. The message of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is for you and me. It's for people until the day of Qiyamah, the end of this dunya, as we know it. So what is to prevent us right now from raising our hands and saying, La ilaha illallah? Let's do it. Raise your hand. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Alhamdulillah. Brothers in Islam, La ilaha illallah is the best hasana. It's the best credit. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Allimni amalan yuqarribni min al-jannah. O Prophet, teach me something that will bring me closer to the paradise. And I apologize for, I think this spot I'm standing on under this light especially, it's causing a lot of heat. So I'm under the hot, it's okay, alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me patience. But this video has to be rerun. That's okay. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Allimni amalan yuqarribni min al-jannah. Teach me a deed that will bring me closer to the jannah. Wa yubaidni min al-nar. And will take me away from the hellfire. He said, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Iza amilta sayyi'ah, sa'mal hasana. If you do a bad deed, a sin, do a good deed. Why? Because إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتَ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. For the good deed will erase the bad deed. JazakAllah. I'm already feeling cooler now. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, فَإِنَّهَا عَسْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا. For the hasana is 10 times. Allah gives you 10 times. If you do hasana, if you do good deed, Allah gives you 10 times. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you one. If you sin one sin, Allah will give you one bad credit. If you do something good, Allah will give you 10 times. Subhanallah. Then Abu Dharr, you know, he was very smart, radiallahu anhu. He wants more. In many other hadiths, he always asks more. He said, O Messenger of Allah, Ya Rasulullah, La ilaha illallah, min al-hasanat, is to say La ilaha illallah, considered a hasanat. The Prophet ﷺ said, Hiya afdal al-hasanat. It is the best of the hasanat. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. This is something that probably will come as new to some of us. Let us explore little bit on this. First, let me go down other benefits. The Prophet ﷺ said, by Hani radiallahu anha, the Sahabiyya, she said, that the Prophet ﷺ said, La ilaha illallah, la tatriku danba, does not leave alone a sin. Meaning, imagine this sin walking and then La ilaha illallah comes and shakes it and kills it. This is what La ilaha illallah does to sin. If you say La ilaha illallah sincerely, it removes the sin. La tatriku danba, it does not leave alone a sin without removing, getting rid of. وَلَا يَسْبِقُهَا عَمَلًا. And no deed, no action will be or win against La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah, which by the way, just a reminder, it means there is no deity but Allah. No one worthy of worship but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La ilaha illallah, it renews faith. And yes, brothers, faith or iman does become old after a while. It becomes, let's say, shrouded with the dunya, with material, with thoughts that are, you know, dunya based. La ilaha illallah, or the faith or the iman becomes weak. How many times? You feel so good when you recite Quran, you feel close to Allah when you make Qiyam Layl. And after 1 month you stop making Qiyam Layl and you feel, you know, tired, and you know, you go to the masjid feeling a little bit like you're not in khushu' totally as you used to. This is because the iman goes down. See, the iman in the heart goes up and down. Sa'atun fasa'at. And sometimes you have to do something to bring it back. What is that something? What is that something? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us the answer. He said to his companions, jadidu imanakum, renew your faith. He said, O Messenger of Allah, how can we renew our faith? He said, Qulu la ilaha illallah. Say la ilaha illallah. Brothers, when you say la ilaha illallah, how does it make you feel? I'm asking. Think about it. You are sitting in the dunya, problem with money, problem with life, problem with work, problem with far away from family, problem with health. Ya akhi, try it. Sit back and say, La ilaha illallah. And say it from your heart. And see how it feels. See how you start thinking of Allah more. You become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.